I want to begin this morning by sharing a touching email that I received this week from one of the Lifesong faithful. And this is how it begins. "Hello, pastors. Please remember that Sunday is the start of the NFL season, so keep it all short. Number one, message, please cut out all stories and jokes, mark even ones pertaining to food. Number two, for the announcements, we'll read the bulletin this week, just this once. Number three, Bethany, none of that praying for people stuff, no needs to be met this week. Number four, and Pastor, you got to tell Charisse just two songs, nothing more. I CC'd Paulette on this because she is the enforcer. From your humble servant in the Lord, Greg, the big man on campus, Frank." Right there, Greg, you just go. You know, I just kind of offhanded told Pastor James, I said, "Man, I'm tempted to start my message Sunday morning with his email." And James said, "Man, you got to do it." So there it is. But it actually is. Today is the kickoff of the major football season. This is a time when my wife and I, we're at odds a little bit because she's more of a football fan than I am. I like football, but she is really into football. And to be honest, I'm more into baseball, but right now I'm in depression because of my Giants. But Robin is really excited about football. And that one of the things that she told me she likes about it is she just likes to see this raw conflict between these two opposing forces as they kind of beat one another's brains out. And I got to thinking about this analogy of the intense struggle that happens on a football field between two teams, and I realize that people that have a particular team that they like and they're really excited about a team, they may not agree with this particular statement, but really on any given day, the teams on a football field are fairly equal opponents, and they push against one another, and they struggle against one another, and they fight against one another, and you're really, in many cases, uncertain of the outcome until the very end of the struggle. And I got to thinking about how thankful I am that the kingdom of God does not work that way. That we are not in some kind of uncertainty about the end of this particular struggle. You know, we do live in a time it's a period of intense spiritual turmoil, and it is so easy for us to be distracted by the commotion that we forget about the reality. And the reality is that the enemy is not equal to God. The enemy is not even close in power to God. In fact, any power or authority that the enemy ever had originally came from God himself. And so God is greater and God is more powerful than the enemy. Let me show you what I mean from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. This is in Colossians, starting at verse 10. And this is how it goes. "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Isn't that word complete incredible? That means that you are not fragmented, you are not disjointed, you are not missing something in your life, that through your union with Jesus Christ, you literally are complete. Then let me skip to verse 12. It says this, "For you are buried with Christ when you were baptized." But that's an incredible revelation right there, that somehow through the waters of baptism, you literally are buried with Christ, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So I love that picture there of being buried but then being raised from the dead. Verse 13, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins." So not just from buried to risen, but from dead to alive. That's an incredible thing. You and I are living in that period right now. Verse 14, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "he canceled," this is verse 14, "he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Is that not encouraging? that God literally took the entire list of your transgressions and your sins and your faults and your failures. And some of us had really, 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 really long lists of those. But he took those and he canceled the record of the charges, nailing them to the cross. That's incredible. Now watch this in verse 15. In this way, or in other words, through what he did on the cross, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's an incredible thing, that he destroyed the work of the enemy. And it wasn't just a close call. It wasn't a barely won victory. He didn't just scratch out or claw out some kind of a victory over the enemy. He literally destroyed this enemy in such a way that he made a public spectacle. In fact, if you know anything about biblical history, you know that in the Old Testament, when a king conquered another king, a lot of times what they would do is they would grab that king and strip him naked and march him through the streets as a public shaming and a disgrace of that broken enemy. And that's what the language here in the Greek literally is conveying, that God stripped the enemy of his authority and his power and made a public spectacle of him openly in front of everyone. I mean, it's one thing to win, but it's another thing to make the enemy look foolish. And this is probably one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 3 and the last part of verse 8. It says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You think Jesus accomplished what he came to accomplish? He destroyed the works of the devil. And I'm amazed, unceasingly amazed, at how many people, including followers of Jesus Christ, that live their lives as if the enemy of their soul were not defeated. As if somehow the power, and if you know anything about the enemy right now in his condition, the only power that he has is the power of suggestion, the power of a thought, the power of an injected phrase in your mind. That's just about all that he has. And yet we get this picture of him as a roaring lion. Do you realize that the Bible says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? But what I understand about that in that particular context, text is it's talking about a lion that has been ripped from his teeth. In other words, his teeth have been taken out of his mouth. He's toothless, but he roars and he makes all kinds of noise, but he doesn't have a bite to follow his bark. And so many people are living, though, in fear and in dread, and they live like somehow he has this great power. But Jesus came to destroy the power of the enemy, and he accomplished that purpose. And this is what I want to share with you today, is that for those of us who recognize his power and put our faith in his name, we can live out an incredible, amazing life. Let me show you why the name of Jesus is so powerful. Again, going back to the Hebrew culture, they used names a little bit differently than we do. When they used a name, it wasn't just because it sounded pretty, because it had, run some syllables together. Nobody else has this name, so let's just make up a name and that'll be good. They gave names for a reason. Like with my son, I gave him the name of Luke Daniel because it means light and it means that God is my judge. And Christiana Renee, we named her Christiana Renee because it means to be born again like Christ. And my name, which I'm afraid to tell you my middle name. My first name is Mark, okay? Mark is a great name. And the name, I don't want to tell him. My middle name is Allen. Thank you. I saw you. He was going to tell. James was going to tell you. Mark Allen. Well, the name Mark Allen, if you look it up in any book, it means a handsome warrior. So you can see how these things, the name is equivalent to the person. Do you get that? Well, that's how they used names in the Old Testament. They literally connected the name with the person himself. And so when you believed on the name of someone, you believed on that person. I'm going to show you a verse that shows you the connection between these two before I go any further. This is very familiar. John chapter 3, right after the famous verse 16. Verses 17 and 18 says this, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's good news. Verse 18. Now watch the connection here. He says, "He that believeth on him," everybody say on him, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already," watch, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you see the equivalency there? He says to believe on him is the same as to believe on his name. Or if you believe on his name, you are believing in him as a person. And so I want you to get that connection, because some people have the idea that the name of Jesus is just a pile of magical letters that are thrown together, and that somehow if you just pronounce it correctly, if you have the exact right pronunciation and the right spelling, that you'll hit that kind of sweet spot in the heavenly realm and miracles and signs and wonders will happen. Well, I've got news for you, because Jesus, the way we pronounce Jesus, is not the way it was pronounced 2,000 years ago. And in fact, the name of Jesus can be found in thousands of cultures and lands around the world today, and in many cultures and lands they pronounce it a little bit differently, whether you're in Africa or South America or whether you're in the Middle East or whether in Europe, all kinds of different pronunciations. But the point is, when you put your faith in that name, meaning that person, something incredible can happen. There are many people that are named Jesus even today, Jesus in Spanish or other ways in different countries, but those names are not powerful because they are not connected with a powerful person. But the name of Jesus Christ is connected literally to the power and to the authority of God. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So there is a connection. When I talk today about believing on the name of Jesus, what I really mean is you are believing in Jesus. Everybody got that? Because his name is synonymous with his person. And when you believe on him, you literally unleash a series of incredible things that can happen in your life. Let me go to Mark chapter 11 and read just a few verses here, and then we'll get into these four quick things and I'll be done. All right. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You know what? Let's just all say that together. I like that. Would you just say those four words? Have faith in God. Simple, right? Have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow. Verse 24, therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You want to know how powerful it is for you to put your faith in God? I wish I could convey this to you for just a moment, because it does not take great faith. It takes small faith in a great God for incredible things to happen. God has never required you to have faith the size of your mountain or faith the size of your obstacle. He says if you'll just have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, literally all the power and authority of heaven and earth can be loosed into your life. And so this is not even my notes right now, but I just feel like hitting this for just a second. I got to tell you, because we tend to undervalue or underestimate or minimize the importance and the power of faith in our life. And I'm telling you, some of you are sitting here this morning and you feel like that life has just knocked you around and you're down and maybe you're feeling a little bit low and all of that. But if there is even the smallest, slightest little spark of faith in your life, God can take that spark and literally create a nuclear explosion of heavenly power, and miracles can happen. What a life this is. He says, if you have faith in God, you'll be able to speak powerful words and you'll receive answers to your prayer. I can't think of anything else in life that I would want. And it all comes by having faith in God. So let me give you four things, just real quickly, four things that can happen in your life because you put your faith in the name of Jesus, and I mean in Jesus himself. Number one, because I believe in his name, I am a child of God. I'm going to give you scripture for this. I want this just to sink into your spirit. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And you can insert in there the daughters of God. That's all right. God loves our ladies. He gave the power to become the sons or the daughters of God, even to them, watch this, that believe on His name. Do you realize that everything that Adam lost, if you go back and you read the genealogy of Adam going backwards to Adam, it'll say, you know, and such begat such and such, and he was the son of so-and-so, and he was the son of so-and-so, and finally it gets to Adam, and it says, Adam, who was the son of God. Adam's original position was as a son of God. He went into disfavor. He went into disfellowship because of rebellion and all of that. But through Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Him, when you believe on His name, He gives you the power to become a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. Can you imagine what position that puts you in? Because now when you go into the throne room of God with your petition, with your need, with your prayer request, you're not approaching a tyrant, and you're not approaching a dictator, but you're approaching your daddy who knows what you have need of before you ask Him. And when you come to Him as a child in faith, great things happen. Complete restoration of everything that Adam lost. You're a child of God. Let me give you a second thing that happens. I love this because I need this every day. Because I believe in His name, my sins are forgiven. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. I love that word remission because it goes even further than forgiveness. Where forgiveness says, yeah, I forgive you, it's okay, no problem, don't worry about it. Remission says, I'm going to pay the debt, I'm going to wipe out the stain, it is gone forever, it's all taken care of. And notice that that comes through faith in His name. But let me remind you that the name is synonymous with the person. And what that's talking about, it's not just believing that Jesus existed. It's not just believing that He had a name. It's believing in the person of Jesus Christ, that this man, 2,000 years ago, went to a cross, died a horrible death, was buried and rose again. And He did that all with my name in His mind and on His heart. And that applies to my life. And so my sins can be washed away. And I love it's not just a one-time thing, because He wrote to the believers, 1 John says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Because I believe in His name, I am forgiven. Let me give you a third one. Because I believe in His name, I have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I got to thinking about that concept of everlasting or eternal. That's a pretty amazing concept. Because literally everything in our life is degenerating. From the moment we're born, we grow up, and then we start growing older. I had somebody this morning, I was telling them, yeah, I got a new shirt. My wife was gone to San Francisco yesterday. I took my daughter and I bought myself a new shirt. Man, didn't I do good? They're like, yeah. And then they looked a little closer and they said, is that white and gray you've got in your hair? I was like, what are you pointing out to me? I was trying to show you I was doing good, and you have to remind me that I'm growing older. And that I'm getting weaker. Do you realize that the longer we are here on this earth, that the promise is going to come true, that it goes from dust to dust, and that everything in this world that's left unattended begins to crumble, because everything in this world is temporary. But God says, not only am I going to give you abundant life right now, but I'm going to give you everlasting life, a forever life, never going to end. He said in John 20 verse 31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And He repeats it to the believers in 1 John 5:13. He says, these things have I written unto you that do already believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There is something about putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the work that He accomplished, that literally can take you from death to life. It can take you from being buried to being raised up again.
Hallelujah.
Kind of makes you want to put your faith in Jesus, doesn't it? If these incredible things happen just by believing. But let me give you the last one real quickly. And that is, because I believe in His name, miracles can happen. Several weeks ago, if you were here, we started our Fresh Start series. And we talked about the lame man who had been at the gate beautiful at the temple for all of his life. Acts chapter 3. And how that Peter and John had gone there to pray, and they didn't even get into the prayer room yet before this man was calling out to them and he was wanting something from them. I mean, he was so needy in his life, and he thought he knew what he needed, and so he begs them for money, and they say, "We don't have any money. But we do have something better than that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And of course, you know the story. He jumps, he leaps, he praises God, he's all healed and everything. Well, just a few verses later, they begin to question Peter, "How in the world were you able to do something like this?" And I love what Peter says in verse 12. He says, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" Peter had a great revelation, a great understanding that the power of God is completely available to every human being alive, but it has nothing to do with our own abilities. It has nothing to do with our own holiness or our own godliness. In fact, verse 16 is a revelation of how this can happen. Watch this. "And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." This is what God is saying. This is simple stuff. That if you will put your faith in His name, His saving name, the name Jesus, literally, if you were to go into the Old Testament, means Yahweh Savior. And there's a lot of different names in the Old Testament that say this. Joshua, Jehoshua, Yahweh, all of these things. But the name of Jesus in the New Testament, in the Greek language, sums this up as God is my Savior. And if you put your faith in Him, these incredible things can happen. You say, "Really, in my life? You think that's really what Jesus had in mind for me? I mean, I'm going to be happy if I can just squeeze under the pearly gates and just barely get in." But look what He says in John 14 and verse 12. This is Jesus. He says, "Truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do." Did you see that? Jesus said, "Greater? Are you serious? Are you kidding me?" Jesus, who has literally cleansed lepers, who has opened up deaf ears and blinded eyes, the one who has raised people from the dead? Greater? You wonder how He's going to do that? How in the world could God do that through me? Greater things. Look at verse 13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Is that sinking in? You remember our Greek lesson from a couple of weeks ago, that the word "all" means... Do you think that it's possible that the word "anything" just might mean anything? Or is this a different Greek word? Is this a kind of Greek word that means some things? Or the things that aren't too tough? Or maybe just a little thing? No, He says, "Anything that you ask in my name, I..." Does that make you want to ask large? Doesn't it make you want to dream big? Doesn't it make you want to believe for the impossible? I've been talking to Pastor James lately, and I've been hearing his heartbeat, and I know that what he desires and what he feels like God has for us is an incredible and an amazing revival. And by revival, what we mean is people coming to the Lord and renewed passion and miracles and signs and wonders and all of these things happening. And you want to know how they're going to happen? They're going to happen when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and we begin to do what He has called us to do. He says, "If you will pray, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you can believe this, if this can sink into your spirit this morning for just a moment, he said, if you will pray this way, then you will do greater things than even I did in this life. Because think about it, you had one man that was going around and touching and ministering and healing and praying and all of that. But if we could unleash 500 or 800 or 1,000 people who were praying and touching and healing and delivering, think of what God can do. I can live a life of expectation, of faith. I can believe that my needs are going to be met. You know why? Because the Bible says that He will supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. My prayers are going to be answered. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's something powerful that happens when we put our faith in His name, because we're putting our faith in His person. We're putting our faith in who He is, and everything that I've known about Him, everything that I've read about Him, everything that I have experienced from Him is that He is faithful and He is powerful and there is nothing too hard for Him. Maybe that's why Paul said in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me? I don't know about you, but I want to believe God for some great things. I'm believing for some salvation in family members that are far from God. Does anybody have family members that need the Lord? I'm believing for that. I don't think that that's too big for God. In fact, when I do think it's too big for God, I'm reminded that He said, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And so I'm going to believe for some salvation in family members. I'm going to believe for that revival Pastor James is talking about. I'm going to believe for provision. I'm going to believe for healing. I'm going to believe. I've been feeling like what God wants us to do is to elevate our trust in Him, to elevate our faith, to literally believe God for amazing things, to not be satisfied to just believe Him for the small stuff. Do you remember what He said in Romans chapter 8? He said, if God who gave you freely His Son, will He not give you all things? I want us this morning, just for a moment, we're going to put our faith in Him. And let me just ask you, how many of you right now would be willing to say, I need a miracle, I need a provision, I need God to do something in my life? Would you raise your hand? Here's what we're going to do for just a moment. I want to ask if you would. Your hands are up. You're saying, look, I've got to have God do something in my life. I want you just to step out here, just come down here around the front for a moment, and we're going to put our faith in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that there is nothing that we can do right now in our own power to make this happen? Come on, come join me. Do you realize? What did Peter say? It's not by our own power and it's not by our own holiness that these miracles can happen. It's not going to happen through that. You know what's going to make this happen? It's going to be faith in His name. Faith in the name of Jesus. For those of you that are coming up this morning and you're thinking, yeah, you know what, I need this in my life, but there's some areas in my life that I haven't quite got together yet. I mean, I've got a bad attitude here and I've got to fix that in my life there. And you know what? The Lord does want you to live a better life. He does want you to overcome some of those things that are pulling you down. But you're not going to receive your miracle this morning because you're perfect. If that's the case, we need to just all go home because none of us are going to get anything. But do you remember what happens if you put your faith in His name? He does things like make you His child. He does things like forgive your sins. He does things like grant you eternal life, none of which we deserve. But He also, because of our faith in His name, will do the miraculous. The miraculous. The miraculous. And I know that right now in this place, there are different kinds of needs. In fact, just right where you're standing, if you have a physical need in your body, would you just slip your hand up? Physical need in your body. You came up because of a physical need. Several. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you would say you're up here because of a financial need? Would you raise your hand? It's all right. Thank you. How many of you would say that you're up here because of family situations? Number of hands. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you would say that in your life right now, there's something going on, maybe it's related to something psychological, if you want to call it that, but like stress or anxiety or depression or anything like that? Just raise your hand real quickly. Are you dealing with that? Anybody dealing with that? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Here's what happens. When you will reveal it, I'm not trying to be cheesy here. When you will reveal it, God can heal it. If you want to hide it, then you're going to have difficulty. But if you'll expose this to the Lord and you'll say, look, yeah, he knows what you have need of before you ask him, but he still says to ask. And he says that if you will ask, you're going to find. And if you knock, the door's going to be open. I mean, it's going to happen. And so what we're going to do just for a moment, don't think that it's going to be because of fancy prayers. Don't slip into your King James, Elizabethan English right now. I know some of you want to, because this is a big need, right? You're going to bow, great father of all that fills the universe. Don't do that. Just get real with God and just say, Lord, I'm putting my faith and my trust in the saving name of Jesus. And through that saving name, I am believing great things. Would you slip your hands to heaven right now? Whatever your need is right now in the name of Jesus, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, in the saving name, in the healing name, in the delivering name, in the miraculous supernatural name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. We bring these needs to you, Father, and we're believing you for great things. We are taking you at your word. And your word says that if we ask anything in your name, that you would do it. And so right now, I speak in the name of Jesus against depression and anxiety, all of the emotional issues that have been confronting our family. In the name of Jesus, all of that must go and healing come. For those dealing with physical needs right now, everything from a headache to cancer, in the name of Jesus, the saving healing name, we believe for a miracle. We believe for healing. We believe for deliverance. In the providing name of Jesus, the name through which we receive all of the provisions of heaven, we believe for those that are suffering and hurting from lack and from want in their life. In the name of Jesus, let provision come. And God, for those that have family members, Lord, that are lost today, family members that are far from God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your grace would be poured out in their life. God, fulfill your word. And your word said that if you were lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. I pray that that would come to pass in their life, that you would move upon their hearts, God, and save their souls. God, let everything in their life be organized to draw their hearts to you in the name of Jesus. In the saving name. In the saving name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.